Scripture reading this morning will be from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good morning. My Bible is open up to James chapter 2. I would encourage you to do the same. We'll be there in just a minute. James chapter 2. When we talk about James, especially the second chapter, well, what is the first thing that often comes to our mind? Well, the one thing that comes to our mind is James chapter 2 talks about our works and how important our works are. And James chapter 2 uses that word. I'll certainly make reference to that. Or we may think that James chapter 2 talks about faith and works. You might say that it's not just about works, it's about faith as well. It's about faith and works. And to a point, it would be kind of okay with that as well. But this morning, as we study from James chapter 2, I want you to allow the scriptures to speak to you in a way that I think God and James was getting us to understand that James chapter 2 isn't just to focus in on our works, or isn't even to focus in on our faith and our works, that James chapter 2 is simply a chapter focused on faith. And that is what I want us to think about this morning. We can have in our minds so many biases and so many preconceived notions, and it is in times that we may be talking to our friends or we may be talking to our neighbors, and they may be a part of another denomination, another religious organization, and we often think that if you can just push past your own biases and your own preconceived notions and thoughts about the Bible and allow it just to speak to you, man, so much good can happen and so much power can be shown through God's word. And we say that so often, we think that we need to do the same thing. We need to be able to push our biases aside and our preconceived notions and at times allow God's word to simply speak to us. And this morning, that's what we're going to do with James chapter 2, an incredible chapter on what faith is. How important is faith? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Hebrew writer says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul will say this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, again the Apostle Paul says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And then in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23 says that he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. And we think about those four verses and we think about that question, how important is faith? And we read through those passages, we see that faith is an essential piece to the Christian life. Without it, it is impossible to please God. We are saved through it. We are to walk by it, and what we do apart from it is sin. And that brings us to James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, there is so much said about faith and what faith is and how we are to respond to God by our faith, but we often get wrapped up into that discussion about faith with works or faith without works, and we often, because we get so wrapped up in that only discussion, we lose what James chapter 2 is giving to us. It is a powerful description of what faith can produce. What faith that God is looking for. Well, this morning we're going to study from James chapter 2, and it is a discussion given to us of different types of faith. And you might say, well, how can you have different types of faith? Well, James is going to help us with that. And there are three different types of faith that we often can even find ourselves struggling with. And the first is found beginning in verse 14 of James chapter 2, and we'll just kind of label it intellectual faith. Listen to what the scriptures say. I'm in James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Now let's see a few things that this passage, in just these few verses, talks to us about this specific kind of faith. And it begins, what does it profit? That's in the New King James Version. Other translations will ask the question, what good is it? What good is this kind of faith? This is the kind of faith that substitutes words for deeds or for actions. Think about the example that James gives to us here in James chapter 2. Someone comes to you and they're in need. They're in need of clothing, or they're in need of food, or they are in need of water. They are in need here in James chapter 2, and you take notice of their need. You see them, and you take notice of the fact that here is someone who needs something. Here is someone who needs clothing. Here is someone who needs a drink of water. Here is someone who needs food. You process all of those things, and you take notice of the fact that they need clothes to be warmed, or they need to be filled in some way. But that is, in essence, where it stops. You take notice of their need, but yet do nothing at all about it. People with this kind of faith specifically know a lot of things about God. If you are playing a Bible trivia game, they are the one you want on your team because they know all of the answers. It's like they had studied all of the cards beforehand, and they know all of the things, and they can quote scripture in an impressive kind of way. They know lots of things, but as we would commonly say, by way of cliche even, their walk doesn't measure up to their talk. Listen, here's the reality. Whenever there is a real of something, like there is a faith, there is also a counterfeit of that. Listen, we deal with it all the time in our world. There is real money, and because there is real money, there is lots of counterfeit money. There is real things that are made all the time, and there is also counterfeit things made all of the time. Where there is real, there will be the counterfeit. And this morning, well, what we're going to be looking for is for each of us to examine where we are, where our faith is, to make sure that we aren't presenting to God a counterfeit faith. That we are not placing before him a $100 bill that isn't a $100 bill. That we are placing before him something that is real. That we are living something that is real, not something that is counterfeit or fake. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, there Jesus tells a story and says very plainly that there will be many people who will present to God, even on the day of judgment, a faith that isn't real. Many people will come to me, Jesus says. Many people will come and say, look at all of the good that I've done. Look at all of the things that I've accomplished for you. But Jesus says there'll be a time in which we'll say, depart from me. I don't even know who you are. What a great opportunity we have this morning to begin to examine our own faith, to see if maybe this is as far as our faith actually goes. That our relationship with God, that it really doesn't get any farther than just knowing some things about God. That our own faith really doesn't go any farther than simply being able to fill in the blank questions about God and who He is, or to answer a true and false question about who God is. We've got to understand that our faith, it's got to go farther than that. But there is a great temptation to allow our relationship with God just to get there. And you know why? Because in the world itself, in comparison to the world especially, that's a lot farther than most people. Man, I've got to have a great relationship with God because I know so much about Him. And my brother here, my brother Joe, he doesn't know as much as I do. Or my co-worker Jim, he doesn't know anything about God. I know all things about God. If anybody in the office has a question about the Bible, guess what? They always come to me, and they do that, you know why? Because I got all the answers. And we start to feel good about that, but yet that's as far as our faith goes. Can this type of faith save us? In verse 17, James says, this kind of faith is dead. Dead faith is counterfeit faith, and the problem and the danger is it really lulls a person to a very dangerous place, and that is that false confidence. We made reference a moment ago to Matthew chapter 7, and you know, I think about that passage a lot. It is, and I recognize, a passage that is used often. And it's a passage that we're familiar with. But you know, I think about this passage a lot because Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23 especially, is a scary passage. Because the picture that's painted. Someone standing before God with all the confidence that they have fulfilled everything that He's looking for. Standing before God and being blown away by what He says. Now, it's easy for us to stand back and say, nobody should be surprised. We've got it all right here, and we do. No one should be surprised when we stand before God on the day of judgment at what He says, because, listen, we've got it all right here. No one should be blown away by that. But Jesus paints a picture right here in Matthew 7 where people are going to be blown away, and we have to make sure that we aren't one of those because we're just falsely confident in this counterfeit faith that we believe we can just slip by God without Him noticing. Well, this faith is missing some things. And what happens is James chapter 2 begins then to give us a complete picture of the kind of faith that God is looking for. In the next two verses, we have a picture given to us of emotional faith. In verse 18 there again in James chapter 2, it continues to say, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. You know, it's interesting here in James chapter 2 and verse 18 and 19, it may have even come to a shock for the ones that are reading this, as James sends it out, that James uses demons even here to prove his point. But it really is a strong illustration, not just here in James chapter 2, but in other places like in the Gospels, where we get a picture of demons and even their interaction with Jesus. We understand and we learn that often demons believe in God. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe in the existence of a place of condemnation. And they even believe that Jesus will be the judge at where everyone goes. But what happens here in James chapter 2 is this faith is a faith that's talked about. It's a further than a faith just simply touched by the intellect, but it's also touched by their emotions. They believe and tremble. This faith involves both the intellect and the emotions of man. But what does this faith do for us? Verse 18, again, when we ask the question, is this the kind of faith that God is looking for? A person can be enlightened in his mind and even stirred in his heart, but yet lost forever. Can we have this kind of faith? Can we have this? I'll tell you, if we believe the right things and we even feel the right things, but our service to God, again, never goes north of that point, our faith is still missing something. What is it missing? Well, beginning of verse 20, we get a full picture of what it is we're looking for. In verse 20 of James chapter 2, he goes on to say, "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And so let's think about what is said in this passage from verses 20 through 26. And the beginning is specifically here in verse 20, where it says that, you know, listen, faith without works is dead. Dead, that Greek word there, argos, is translated barren or idle. It's empty. It is nothing. And the point that's made here at the very end is this picture that's given to us in James chapter 2, verses 20 through 26. This dynamic, strong, saving faith involves the all of man. It involves his intellect, it involves his heart and his emotions, but also involves his will. His mind understands the truth. His heart desires it and rejoices in it, and his will acts upon it. That shouldn't be a surprise to us. Think about what Jesus says in the New Testament, as well as what we see from God in the Old Testament, when it talks about man's relationship with him. What does God say? Not just in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well. What is he looking for from his people? He's looking that we love him with our all. With all of our mind, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. He's looking for our all. And this picture that's given to us at the end of James chapter 2 about our faith involves the all of man. He uses Abraham. He uses Rahab. Listen, two completely different people. I mean, you almost couldn't pull out two more different people to illustrate a point than Abraham and Rahab, both exercising saving faith in God. You see, this passage is a passage about faith. Yes, it talks about works, and that word is there, but take a look again at verse 18. I will show you my faith by my works. You see, James chapter 2 isn't about showing people our faith and our works. James chapter 2 is about showcasing our faith. And it is a faith that involves the all that we have to give. It's a faith that puts our intellect in it, where we want to know more about God, where we have His Word deep into our minds that maybe we can quote it when it's needed. But yet we have the love of God in our hearts and we feel the compassion for God because of what He has done for us. But because of that feeling and because of that knowledge, we act upon what His will is. And that is a picture of faith. That is a picture of faith. All of those other things, minus whatever part, is not faith at all. It may look like faith, and it may be called faith by your own lips, but it is simple counterfeit. So what can we do about that? You know, it's easy to stand up here and say, listen, we need to have more faith. And we do. But then it's easy for me to say that up there and for you to sit there and to say, oh, how do I do that? How do I increase that? How do I build upon that? I'll give you just a couple of things to think about as we close. Eli read for us from 2 Peter chapter 1. It's a powerful passage on the growth that we can have as Christians. And each of those attitudes that we exhibit and that we can work on are each and every one built upon our faith. And the more that we exhibit those and work on those and strengthen those things, the more our faith will grow. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us that digging into God's word increases our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you might say, well, listen, man, I hear preachers all the time tell us we just need to study God's word. And listen, it's not the first time I've been here just a few weeks, and it's not the first time I've said it, and it won't be the last time I say it. God's word is everything for us. It is everything because it is the key component that ties us to Him. But one other thing I'll give you that maybe we don't think enough about as we close. And we're going to look to a passage in the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 17, there's one way that we can strengthen our faith that I just don't think we think about quite enough. In Luke chapter 17, beginning of verse 1, an interaction between Jesus and His disciples. He says, it is impossible, verse 1 of Luke 17, that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now think about what Jesus is saying. He paints a picture to his disciples of someone who sins against you 7 times, not in a week, not in a month, not in a year, but in a single day, and comes back each and every time with the repentance and the sorrowfulness that he needs. And Jesus says, each and every time you forgive him. That's not easy. And the disciples are listening to that, and they're thinking, this is hard. And in Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, I'm telling you, I love the response. And it's simplicity, but I think we often miss it in our lives. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, after Jesus says, listen, 7 times, if he repents, forgive him. It says there in Luke 17 and verse 5 that the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So this morning, as we close, I'll ask you, when was the last time in your prayer to God you asked Him to increase your faith? We pray to God for lots of things, as we should. But when I think about a passage like this, and I think about the struggle that I have sometimes with my faith, and in moments of faith weakness is when sin occurs. And then I think, when was the last time that I simply prayed to God to increase our faith or increase my faith? And this week I came to the realization, not enough. There are lots of ways that we can build upon the faith that we see described for us in James chapter 2. Growing and maturing as a Christian, digging into His Word, and simply asking God to help us. And if we can get to that point, man, what a powerful, dynamic, real faith that we can showcase here in this life. What a good opportunity we've had this day to think about these things. What a good opportunity we have right now to examine our own hearts, to see where our faith is, to make sure it is this real, dynamic, strong faith. And if it isn't, what a great opportunity we have right now to do something about it. Well, we're going to sing this song of invitation. It gives us an opportunity, all of us an opportunity, to think about our relationship with God. And it may be this morning that you're here and you realize that it is your sin that's separating you from God. Well, let's do something about that. Maybe you know that it is through the waters of baptism that that sin is washed away and you've been putting that off. Let's not put that off anymore. Let's take advantage of the time that we have. Maybe you've walked away from God in some way. It's time to come back to Him. Put your whole life and focus on Him. If we can help you at all, let us know as we stand and sing.